VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Many of you are familiar with the childhood brawls that take place. My brother is bigger than your brother. Oh, yeah? Well, my dad can beat your brother. Well, my dad can beat your dad. And so we appeal to some kind of higher ability, some kind of higher authority than perhaps what we represent. And ladies and gentlemen, all across the world, we see this very attitude playing out. Matter of fact, every time that there is the yelling out of Allah Akbar, meaning Allah is greater or Allah is bigger, the implication is that my Allah is bigger than your God. You know, all we need to do is to go back to the time of Elijah, the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth on Mount Carmel, to see that this was disproved as Jehovah God demonstrated his power and his authority. And indeed, Jehovah God reigns supreme. Well, on a different scale, we have the same matter going on in the lives of individual Christians today. Christian families are being impacted, and yes, some evangelical churches where the authority of God's word is being challenged. It's been going on a long time. I mean, we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 1, where the serpent's talking to Eve and questioned, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So the question is, did God really say that? Did he really mean that? Do we really need to trust what's written in this bronze era book when we have so much more enlightenment today? And as mentioned, this is not just from people in the secular world, but many mainline denominations, and it's encroaching into the evangelical church. Joining us on this topic today of ultimate authority, we welcome to our studios Jay Siegert. Jay is the founder and managing director for the Starting Point Project. He holds a degree in both physics and engineering technology. He's an international speaker and author, serves on the board of directors for Logos Research Associates, and speaker for the Creation Science Association of Fiji. Jay, nice to have you in our studios today.
Yeah, it's great to be on the program. It's an honor.
You've actually been speaking on the authority of Scripture for over three decades now. Give us a little bit more of your background, Jay, and tell us what propelled you into this ministry.
Sure. I was raised in a Christian home, very godly parents, two older sisters, went to a very sound Bible preaching church. I believed the Bible from cover to cover when I was younger. I didn't probably think about it a whole lot. It was presented to me. I accepted. I placed my trust in Christ when I was in grade school. And then I went to public schools all the way through high school. When I was younger, we really didn't have options for Christian schools around. And graduated from high school, went to a Christian college, John Brown University in Arkansas, to study mechanical engineering. Did get a degree there, but then I became more interested in physics. So I left that university and went to the State University here in Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, to get a degree in physics. And then that's when everything changed for me, because I went from a small Christian college where my engineering professors actually opened up every class in prayer, which is cool, to a state university where my physics professors did not open up in prayer, and they were all evolutionists. Some of them were atheists, and they were basically telling me that everything that I believed was wrong. And I realized for the first time in my entire life that even though I knew what I believed, I didn't know why. I really couldn't defend my faith. How did I absolutely know that God existed? How did I know the creation account was scientifically valid? That was huge studying physics. How did I know there was a worldwide flood? How did I know Jesus was the Son of God? How did I know the Bible is the inspired Word of God? I was raised to believe every one of those things, and I did, but I couldn't defend it. So God put it on my heart at that point in my life to start looking into these things. So I did. It was 34 years ago. So for the past 34 years, I've been researching and speaking on the authority of Scripture and the whole science and Bible, the Christian worldview, and creation-evolution debate, all those types of things, everything that relates to a defense of the Christian worldview. About 13-plus years ago, felt moved into full-time ministry, so I've been traveling nationally and internationally the past 13 years, conveying these topics in a lot of churches, conference, schools, camps, universities, wherever they're interested in the message.
And as a matter of fact, even within your own ministry, you've had transition itself, a renaming of your ministry, a rebranding, if you will, and have chosen the name, the Starting Point Project. Well, that begs questions in people's minds. What do you mean by the Starting Point Project?
Sure. That was one of the reasons we changed our name. We were the Creation Education Center, and I still talk a lot about creation, but we didn't want to get pigeonholed, like, oh, you're the creation guy. Oh, that's kind of cute. The Genesis stuff is interesting. You know, been there, done that, or it doesn't matter, or whatever the stereotype someone might have in their mind regarding Genesis or creation versus evolution. So we didn't want to get pigeonholed, and we also wanted something that would describe the breadth of our ministry. It's not just creation. Creation is very foundational, very important, but the bigger picture is really the authority of God's Word. So we changed it to the Starting Point Project, and this is one of the reasons why, the main reason. Everyone, no matter who they are, whether they're a Christian, atheist, Buddhist, Muslim, Mormon, everyone starts somewhere with their belief systems. It's impossible not to start somewhere. For a Christian, we believe that God exists and the Bible is His Word. And then we use that starting point, that foundation, to define everything else. What science actually is, philosophy, history, ethics, morality, all those things are defined by our starting point. Then you can ask someone else very, you know, naturally, hey, what have you chosen for your starting point? Well, they probably don't even realize they have one. They haven't really thought it through. But if they think it through, they would throw something out there, whatever it would be. And then you could just ask them very naturally, logically, oh, what made you choose that as your starting point? And why are you confident that that will help you accurately describe and define everything else? Now, they probably won't do the best job of talking through that, but you get them to realize that they were kind of unsure of their starting point, not sure why they chose it, and aren't really confident as to why they can rely on that to accurately interpret everything. So it gets you into these natural conversations, and then you could share more about why you've chosen the starting point you have, that God exists in the Bible is His Word, and you can actually demonstrate how that actually helps make sense of the world around us.
In essence, for many, there's a tug-of-war that's going on this topic of authority. Why do we struggle with this aspect of authority?
Well, I think it probably all goes back to our sin nature. You know, back to the garden, as you're talking about Adam and Eve in the garden, and they were placed there. It was perfect. They had a perfect relationship with God. But we know that God gave them a free will. They could choose. And in order to exercise free will, there's got to be choices. And so God detected to them, you know, what your choices are. And it's interesting, you know, when Satan comes in Genesis chapter 3, he says, yea, hath God said that, you know, you can't eat of any tree in this garden. God didn't say that. He said, you can eat of any tree in this garden except for one. So Satan twists God's word, and then he got Eve and Adam to doubt God's word. And if you think about it, his plan has not changed at all. Skeptics today all doubt the authority of God's word. But even many Christians are now questioning the authority of God's word. There are portions that they don't understand, which we're all in that boat. We don't understand everything. There are portions they don't like. There are portions where they think they know better. They go somewhere else and get some education, and those things are truth to them. And then they use those truths as a filter to decide what in the Bible they're going to believe and what they're not going to believe. So they're setting up something else as the ultimate source of authority. So they're questioning God's word. And we, you know, by our human nature, our fallen human nature, we resist authority. So we do it in different ways. And that's one of the reasons today that we struggle with this starting point. We really don't want to be in submission to God.
Jay Siegert is with us today, founder and managing director for the Starting Point Project. And Jay, as you know, there are churches today that once took a stand in the area of biblical doctrine, but now today saying, well, it really doesn't matter so much anymore. What has caused such a transition to take place?
A lot of factors, I think, going on. I think as John chapter 12 talks about that they feared man, the approval of man, more than the approval of God. And so they were wanting to confess Jesus, but they hesitated to because they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. You know, the elites would, you know, kick them out. And I think today many people, they know if they take a stance on Scripture, it's not going to go well for them in the community, as the academics in the community can say, well, you're naive, you're ignorant, you're believing in this ancient religious book, which is outdated, it's been copied so many times, it's filled with errors and contradictions, science has disproven it, and on and on and on. And you're a religious person, you're naively believing that when we've got real knowledge today in science, and we've proven the Big Bang, and proven evolution, and proven this, and proven that, you need to comport with what we're telling you. if you want to hang on to some vague religious belief, that's okay as long as you're not really making too many waves. So for a Christian to take a stance, they're going to be shot down certainly right from the get-go with the creation account. They're going to be told you're way off on that. They're going to be told there never was a worldwide flood. So a lot of Christians today say, well, you can't take Genesis seriously or literally because we know better. It doesn't actually mean that. And maybe there really wasn't a flood because apparently there's no evidence for that. And that starts watering down everything because that's the foundation for everything else. So then you fast forward and someone talks about transgenderism. Well, you can't really be running back to the Bible to really say much because you've already told people, I don't really use the Bible that way, so I can't just magically jump in the middle and say, well, you got to believe this part. If I'm telling you, you could ignore the beginning, which is the foundation for everything else.
So you use the term real science. If we accept real science, will that disprove the Bible?
Well, you know, when you say real science in quotes, we're told, you know, from the kindergarten on up, we hear a certain story about the history of the universe, history of the earth, history of life, that goes, it's in stark contrast to what we read in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And too often, you know, the kids will go to public schools, Christian kids in public school, and they'll hear those stories, and they realize that it doesn't seem to line up so much with what the Bible is saying, but typically, church leaders aren't saying a whole lot about it, so they get the impression that it must be okay. What I'm hearing in the public school must be okay, because the church isn't really telling me it's wrong for the most part. So it must be all right. And I guess I go to school to learn those things, to learn science. You don't go to church to learn science. You go to the school to learn science and history and archaeology and all that. I go to church to learn about Jesus, and it's this fluffy spiritual thing, my relationship with God, and, you know, I'm a good person, he'll be happy. And so they live with that contrast back and forth until eventually they're a little older and they realize, wait a minute, these can't both be right. Something's got to give. And too often it's their view of the Bible that gives, partially because of their sin nature. If I keep the Bible, that means I have to feel guilty about a lot of things. But if I can academically have a reason to give up the Bible, I can side with the majority of people out there, and I can get rid of a lot of this guilt that I have.
Matter of fact, you use the term in some of your writings and on your website of biblical illiteracy. And, you know, when I think about that, we live in this land of plenty, lots of Bibles in people's homes. We have Bible apps on our computers and phones. We have Christian radio, Christian broadcasting, television, all kinds of podcasts and everything that we can listen to. How is it possible to have biblical illiteracy in a land that seems so rich and full of biblical truth?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's certainly true that the majority of skeptics have an opinion of the Bible based not on their own research, but based on what someone else told them. Mm-hmm. Again, it's outdated, filled with errors and contradictions, science has disproven it. That's their opinion of the Bible, so why would they believe it? You know, if those things that they heard are true, yeah, then don't pay any attention to it. But a lot of Christians are in the same boat where their opinion of the Bible is based not really on their own reading and studying research. It's on what someone else told them about it. They don't necessarily study it themselves. They go to church, and they'll hear a sermon which is about the Bible and maybe has a few verses here and there, and that's, you know, fine to them. And then they go home, and the rest of their week has almost nothing to do with Scripture or the Christian worldview. It's just living life. And then you go back to church. So it's easy to fall in that trap, and we can develop that a little bit further later.
Sure. We're going to pick up on this area of biblical illiteracy after the break. Our guest today, Jay Siegert. We're talking about ultimate authority here today on Crosstalk, and trust that our discussion today is going to prompt you to be thinking about what is your starting point. What do you believe, and why do you believe it? We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how primitive was early man?
Chris, early man was never primitive in an evolutionary sense at all. In the beginning, man was created in the image of God with great ability, even able to communicate with God face to face. All this was before sin, however, and we've been deteriorating ever since. Evidence continues to accumulate that long ago man was highly sophisticated, evidently even performing brain surgery. Skulls have been found with holes drilled in them for surgical reasons, and the person had survived. No, Chris, there never were primitive humans. There were some with less technology and not much education, but Stone Age cultures exist today. This is a level of civilization, but not an evolutionary stage, and it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, ultimate authority. Our guest, Jay Siegert. He is with the Starting Point Project. And certainly talking about our starting point and certainly the transition that is taking place in, sadly, many evangelical churches today. We're on the topic right now of biblical illiteracy. And I think if I heard you right, Jay, you were saying that this biblical illiteracy is not just among non-believers, but this is even happening within people who are going church-going people.
Sure. There are certainly exceptions, so I don't want to paint too broad of a stroke here, but there are too many Christians in the church that have been going to decent churches for 10, 20, 30 plus years that know way too little, really, about the Bible. Many of them can't even give you the big picture of, you know, the overview from in Genesis through Revelation. What's the flow? They're fairly good with the New Testament. You got Jesus shows up, you know, Christmas, he's born, he's got this life, his miraculous life, he gets crucified, he rises again, and then he's going to come back, and the church starts and things like that. But if you ask them, give me the timeline from beginning from creation that led up to the Christ, what are the major events there? Typically, all they'll know is the individual stories, Daniel in the lion's den, the flood, you know, whatever it might be. They have somewhat of an understanding of the individual stories, but they don't know how they all fit together. It's confusing to them. They don't know if Moses and Abraham were next-door neighbors. Did they work at McDonald's together? Just stuff happens, and there's a lot of violence going on in the Old Testament, and they cringe, and they want to stay away from that because the skeptics will say, yeah, nice God you have, you know, telling the Israelites to go into lands and wipe out men, women, children, and babies. But, oh, but then you got the God of love in the New Testament with Jesus, turn the other cheek. He seems kind of schizophrenic. And again, many Christians aren't quite sure how to respond to that, so they tend to stay away from the Old Testament. It's not as important, they say, as the New Testament, and all you really have to worry about is Jesus. Well, if you don't know the backdrop of Jesus, it's hard to give Christ any significance, and why should someone else believe it? And at that point, they're telling the skeptic, I don't really have a whole lot of answers, but just trust me. Like, I think I figured out the truth, and just trust that I have, rather than saying, you don't need to trust me. I will tell you the truth from Scripture. You can see it for yourself, and then it'll be your decision what you do with it. But we don't know enough about Scripture to know where to take them or to give them the big picture.
We need to understand, of course, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And, of course, it tells us what is profitable, what is right, what is not right, how to get right and how to stay right, as we've heard others say here on the broadcast itself. But the matter of knowing the Scripture is so important, but that really boils down to, okay, so we've got the Scriptures, but how do we interpret those Scriptures? Because one will take a look at a passage, just as they do, will look at a fossil and say, well, that means this has been around millions of years, and say, no, there's proof that we see this. So when we take a look at Scripture itself, what is our approach? How do we interpret Scripture?
Sure, that's a big question. And again, many Christians themselves haven't really thought that through too far. They hear a certain story and they say, well, that's what the Bible says. If someone else comes along and says, well, no, I think it means this or that, how do we know who's right? And a lot of people who claim to have a certain view on a passage that might be a little out there, you know, different from the mainstream, and they tell me that's what it actually means. I ask them, okay, well, what rules of interpretation did you use to come up with that conclusion? And most of the time, they haven't used any rules at all. They heard that from someone else. They're more comfortable with that view, so that becomes truth to them. But you have to study the Bible in context. I have a lot of people say, well, you know, you're a Christian. You take the Bible literally. And I say, yeah, actually, I don't take it literally. And that always shocks people. And I say, well, let me explain what I mean. I don't take it literally. I take it contextually. The portions that were written as literal historical narratives, I take, yes, very literally, because that's the context in which they're written. The portions that are written as poetry, I take as poetry. Now, they do convey truths, but they do it in a poetical, you know, fashion. It says that God covers us with his wings. We don't believe the Bible's trying to teach us God has feathers. It's saying as a truth that he protects us, but it's using poetic language. So when you're reading the Bible, you always read it by its context. Just like you would read any other book, no one ever picks up a book without opening it and says, I'm going to read every word in here literally no matter what. Mm-hmm. You just start reading and you know, you can tell by the context whether this is meant literally or not. So you need to look at who wrote the passage, when was it written, who did they write it to, what's the bigger picture here, and what actual words were used to convey these truths. You read that, you study those things, and you pray about it, and the Holy Spirit is very gifted, a lot sharper than I am. The Holy Spirit can guide you into truth, even if you don't have the supposed Greek and Hebrew experts around you. God wants you to read the English copies that we have, pray about it, and He can guide us into all truth. Otherwise, it's always dependent not on what the Bible says, but when some expert who supposedly studied it says, well, you can always find a different expert, have a different opinion. So God says, don't worry so much about the experts. You just go into it personally, read it, and I will help mature you as the Holy Spirit guides you.
Jane, do you believe that the church, not all, but some, but the church is contributing to biblical illiteracy?
Oh, definitely. Again, I'm not trying to come down too hard on any particular pastor, particular church, or anything, but as I travel around the country and out of the country, I just see too many examples where there's not a lot of depth to the services. And I understand there are challenges today. You got a lot of visitors coming, a lot of newer Christians that maybe can't quite grasp things that are quite as deep, but the point is they should hang in there and learn these things and grow by being there. So too often we just focus on a lot of series, topical things in the church, and it's not wrong to talk about topic of marriage, how to have a better marriage or raise your children or deal with anger. Those are great things and you can draw them into scripture. But if that's all you do, if you picture going to church for 5 or 10 years and you hit those topics of marriage and family and anger, there's only so many topics there are going to be. So what do? Then you start to repeat them again. And you never really get into major doctrine, the doctrine of God, His sovereignty, His holiness, sin, and salvation doctrinally, where that's foundational. Mm-hmm. Those are the types of things you need. When someone brings up transgenderism, it doesn't help you so much to have just learned how to have a better relationship with your wife. If someone brings up transgenderism, you need to know more of Scripture, but you can go to many churches for years and you'll never really get to that level.
You've mentioned this a couple times, transgenderism, and there are those today who will say, well, that is a social issue, it's a political issue, really shouldn't be talking about those things.
Very common retort from people, and again, those types of statements can intimidate a Christian, just like if someone, you know, if I'm talking to them about creation evolution, the skeptic could look at me and say, oh yeah, you're right, and all the scientists are wrong. That could be an intimidating statement for people. Do you really want to convince this person you're talking to that, yeah, you are right and all the scientists are wrong? No, it's not really that all the scientists believe in evolution, but initially it's a statement that you might not know how to respond to. So when someone says, well, that's just a social issue, too often we as Christians say, well, you know, maybe it is, but, you know, I have an opinion or whatever. No, they're all biblical issues because God has laid the foundations. God created this universe. Everything in it, He created, and He has comments on it, and He has standards. So if someone brings up an issue that, yeah, it can be a social issue, but that doesn't mean it's solely a social issue, you can always say, and you should say, thank you for sharing your opinion on that. I have a question for you. You just told me it's okay to have 72 different options for genders, or you just told me it's okay for these two guys to get married. I have a question. Where did you just turn right now? What source of authority did you just turn to come to that conclusion that it is okay for these two guys to get married versus it's not okay? You made that decision. How did you arrive at that opinion? Now, they will most often say, well, that's just what I think. I mean, they have a right. So they're telling you, I didn't look at some source of authority that I go to all the time. They're just telling that's what I think. You know, they have a right. Who are you to tell them that they can't? So then I would say, okay, so it's your opinion. You feel they should be able to get married. Yes. Okay, what do we do with someone else who doesn't feel they should get married? Do you get to decide or do they get to decide? Or do we bring 100 people in and vote? Or is it state by state or country by country or county by county? You know? And then even if it is state by state, how often do you have to vote? People change their minds and it's just fluid. There's no ultimate foundation to say something is right or wrong unless there is a singular source against which everything is measured. And that's the Christian worldview. We say, thank you for sharing your opinion on genders or gay marriage or whatever. Let me just show you what the Bible has to say about it. If you have an issue with it, you don't really have an issue with me. You have an issue with what's said in Scripture, and you'll have to deal with that. I just want you to clearly understand what it's claiming rather than thinking you know because someone else told you something about the Bible that may not even be accurate.
Now, people hear what you just said and said, oh, Jay, I'm so glad you found your truth and you need to follow your truth, but my truth is different than that. Can there be contradictions in truth?
Yeah, that's an excellent one. People say, well, it's true for you, but not true for me.
Mm-hmm.
I ask them, is that statement you just made true for you but not true for me? Is that true? If they say no, then it's nonsensical. Why would you say something that you yourself don't think is true? So they're going to say, well, yes, it's true. And then I would say, okay, is that statement true for everyone or just you? And you take them down this path where you get them to realize that what they said is self-contradictory. It doesn't make any sense. It's kind of silly. And you're not trying to shame them or anything. You're just saying you really don't have a basis. What you just said is self-contradictory when you try to follow it through. Most people haven't maybe thought deep enough to pull that out. But no, it can't be true for them. Maybe you like vanilla ice cream better than chocolate, which that could be true for you. That's your opinion. That's fine. That's a different category. But when we're talking about things that have a factual basis, no, then there's one set of truths independent of how we feel about them.
So your message is very much counterculture, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And that's the thing. You got to decide, am I going to try to get along as best as I can with everyone without making waves? Or am I going to try to determine a set of truths and stick with that no matter what? When you think about Jesus, he was God. He is God. He was on this planet. Everything he did was perfect. And people hated him. So what chance do we have of making everyone happy? We have no chance of making everyone happy, but that's not our command. God doesn't say go into the world and make everyone happy. He says go and preach the gospel and make disciples. Tell them the truth.
Jay, as you know, we've seen all kinds of surveys out that are taking place today, young people walking away from their faith, leaving the church, going off to college, never coming back, those types of things. Is that all tied into the scenarios that we're talking about here?
I think largely tied in. There are a lot of factors behind huge percentages of Christian youth walking away during their college years. I think many Christians naively think that it's just an academic thing. They go off to college, they hear about evolution more, and they think the Bible's definitely wrong, so they walk away. So they come to me after my talks and they say, can you fix them? And what they mean is, can you tell them more about this DNA stuff you told us? And then they'll know that creation's true and they'll be back in church. And I'm thinking, for the vast majority of cases, no, they're not looking for the truth. They think they finally have an academic argument to justify how they've been feeling for a long time. They've been struggling with the Christian worldview and the Christian life and not often seeing it lived out in their homes. So it's struggle. They feel guilty with the sin life and all these things and cover certain things up to hide it from their parents. And their parents might be legalistic about things and angry, and it's performance-based. That's Christianity to them. Then they go off to college. The professors give them all these good-sounding academic reasons why the whole thing is false. And they're like, yes, I knew it. Now they have an academic justification for walking away, which is something they've wanted to do for a long time. It wasn't that the arguments that they heard totally took them by surprise and turned them around. No, they were on the edge to begin with. College just exposed where they had been for a long time. So it's not a matter of just giving them some new facts and they'll be back. It's about starting from scratch, talking to them about the Christian worldview, the truths of the Bible, praying for them, and understanding what their struggles are, not just giving them a bunch of scientific facts.
Jay Siegert is our guest here today. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be opening lines here shortly, not quite yet, but when we come back from the break, we're going to find out, what is the formula? How do we get back on track? What is the secret sauce to all of this? Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Also, have a pen or pencil handy, a sheet of paper. We'll be giving out Jay's website, point of contact information as well. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
The phone rings and your heart stops. You look down at the screen and see the name of your dear friend who has been waiting for biopsy results. As your shaking fingers fumble to answer the call, your heart cries out a silent prayer. You immediately hear the shock and sadness in her voice. You know, even before she utters the words, it's cancer. What do you say? What do you do at such a time? You want to be supportive, but don't know how to. In the book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer, cancer survivor Marissa Henley shares from her heart the struggles of cancer, but also presents very practical ideas on ministering to your friend or loved one with emotional needs, spiritual needs, tackling logistical needs, and far more to lend support. Loving Your Friend Through Cancer is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Jay Siegert is our guest today. He is the founder and managing director for the Starting Point Project. And we're talking about ultimate authority today, something that is lacking, sadly, in so many homes, Christian homes, lacking increasingly in churches today. Not all. We praise God for those churches that are standing strong and true on the doctrines of the faith and continuing to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. But so often in churches today, thus saith the Lord has turned into, yea, hath God said. And we're addressing that issue here today, and we are concerned as to what's happening, not only in many a church, but what's happening in many a family, what's happening with many a young people just walking away from their faith. How do we correct this, you know, equation? How do we get back on track? What's the formula? Jay, what is the secret sauce to all of this?
Well, I'd like to say I have the answer. I have an answer. And that would be just continually get back. It sounds too easy. Get back to the authority of God's word. Anytime a topic comes up, if it's something you've been addressing for years or a new one, really go back to Scripture. Does it say what we've been teaching at this church? And one example is the whole controversy, the creation evolution controversy. You know, the whole debate. You know, which is true? Is it evolution? Is it creation? Is it some hybrid? Many churches, and increasingly so, have been bringing in these ideas of evolution and Big Bang into Scripture and trying to say, well, it really could maybe support that, and maybe it doesn't actually mean what it says, or maybe it means something different, or maybe it's just literary, it's allegory, it's not meant to be taken literal. And so by making these compromises, you kind of lose your footing later, because I'd ask people, you know, why do people need to place their trust in Christ as their Savior to go to heaven? Well, because the Bible says. Okay, why does the Bible say that? Well, because we're sinners. Well, why are we sinners? Well, because Adam and Eve sinned. Oh, so now you just brought us back to Genesis. You mentioned Adam and Eve, so there really was an Adam and Eve. Yeah, I guess so. So what? Tell me about that. What happened? Well, they were in the garden, and they sinned, and then they got kicked out. Okay, so before they sinned, everything was okay. Yeah. So it was perfect, and then they sinned and got kicked out, and you're saying that's why Jesus had to come to die on a cross. Yes, okay. Well, if you believe in evolution, evolution teaches us that creatures were evolving for hundreds of millions of years before people were on the planet, and there was survival of the fittest, there were mutations, there was disease, death, survival of the fittest, creatures eating each other, all that was going on for hundreds of millions of years as God is supposedly developing the earth or whatever, and then later, God plants Adam and Eve in that garden. Well, it's not paradise anymore now. They are literally on top of a graveyard of billions of dead things. So when Adam and Eve sinned then, that didn't bring death into the world, even though Romans 5:12 says it was by Adam's sin that brought death in the world. And that's where people squirm a little bit. Well, you know, maybe it wasn't physical death that it brought. It was just spiritual death. Like, can you show me where it says that? It doesn't say that. And they keep twisting of trying to fit in these secular ideas to appease other people and to not have to take Scripture seriously. So you can jump through a lot of hoops to try to make things fit, but you're constantly doing that. But then all of a sudden, I say, you know, do you believe that Jesus really rose again after 3 days? Oh, yeah. Are you aware that science has shown us that people don't come back from the dead? I mean, maybe after 30 seconds or 2 minutes, but not 3 days. It never happens. It's impossible. Well, but Jesus was God and he can do anything. And I agree with that. Jesus was God, and it was a miracle. And just like he rose again after 3 days, he could create everything in 6 days, just like he said. But that's when they're picking and choosing. Well, but that couldn't have happened because of, maybe say something about science. And you ask yourself the question, what did we do for most of history before we had science? You're just reading Scripture. We were coming to the wrong conclusion, and God is like, they're really believing what I said there, but I didn't really mean that. I meant something very different. But eventually, they'll have modern science and realize I didn't mean any of that. I meant something very, very different. So even today, you better bone up on science or you're not going to understand Scripture. In fact, you better have some experts around you. So what do you do if you live in the jungles of Africa and you don't have scientists to tell you the truth? And then why even read Scripture at all? Just talk to the scientists. You've read the Bible. What do you think? Because you know science. No, God says what he means and means what he says. And he intends us to be able to read it without having advanced knowledges of science to really figure out the truth.
Jay, you've got a lot of teaching videos on your website. You've got resources, both DVDs. You've written a book as well. You take trips to various locations. How is it our listeners can gain more information about your ministry? You even have a newsletter that you put out.
Sure. The website is thestartingpointproject.com. So thestartingpointproject.com. The main thing we do, travel around, give talks. We don't charge anything for our engagements. We just accept honorariums or whatever the host deems appropriate. We do ask for travel expenses to be covered, but there's never a charge for the engagements. You know, we go across the United States. We've been international a number of times. We've done some missions trips where we end up paying, you know, for everything, our flight or, you know, lodging and food and everything. It's more of a missions outreach in Russia and in Fiji and probably Kenya this year and maybe Iceland and going back to the United Kingdom a third time. So we go out, we give talks on these topics, the authority of God's word. How do we know God wrote the Bible? What about the whole creation evolution controversy? Was there a flood? Is the Christian faith just a blind faith and skeptics are all about facts? And we cover all those things in our talks. We have 10 different DVDs that we produce so far, 7 pocket-sized booklets, and then the book that I wrote, I've been told by some of the world's leading scientists, I think it's the best overview that's out there right now, called Creation and Evolution, Compatible or in Conflict. And so it's just a lot of information there, all focused on the authority of God's word and being confident in Christian worldview, not to go out and win arguments, but be confident when you're boldly and graciously sharing the gospel message.
The website again, thestartingpointproject.com, thestartingpointproject.com. I'd like to open our phone lines today. Maybe something Jay has mentioned today has triggered a question in your mind. Maybe you've wrestled with an issue. Maybe you've got a son or daughter that has gone that wayward path and you're wondering, how do I bring them back with issues? I've failed in some of these areas. Where do we go from here? Maybe you're in a church right now that has wandered in its doctrinal teaching. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Maybe you yourself are a skeptic and looking for some answers in the areas of biblical authority. What has God really said on this? Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Again, that's 800-733-9829. The website, thestartingpointproject.com. And again, there you'll find a number of materials, DVDs, teachings, podcasts that Jay does. You'll find information about various aspects of ministry there as well. So again, our number here, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Olney, Illinois. And George, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just going to confirm that the starting point, the Bible tells us, is Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And that he knew us from before he laid the foundation of the world, and he had made plans for us to achieve during our lifetime today. We are watchmen on the wall, and that is our job. We can't bring people to salvation. They have to come on their own, being drawn by the Holy Spirit, and not everyone's going to make it, but we have to open up our mouth and let the truth of God pour out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Any response to his comment?
I definitely agree. Jesus is the starting point because Jesus is the creator. John chapter 1, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, for him, by him, through him, all things were created. So Jesus is the perfect place to start. And if you want to know the big picture, get the big picture of Scripture, see who Jesus is, what led up to his arrival, and the significance of that Jesus plays in being our only way of salvation.
Our number, 800-733-9829. Terry is calling from Danville, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes, I want to thank your guest for his sense of urgency. I came to my salvation late in life, and one of the first men God put in my life was a man who was a former evolutionist who now teaches young earth creation, Dr. Grady McMurtry. One thing I've learned from him, and I'm going to ask a question, but he said if you can teach a child there's no superior being in control of the physical universe, it'll be easy to teach that child there's no superior being in control of the moral universe. If there's no creator, there's no lawgiver. And that is what is being taught and has been taught from John Dewey on up, that there is no God. And we are now in a place where the majority of millennials think socialism is okay and have no foundation in the word, starting with creation. And mm-hmm. And my question to you, have we completely lost this generation, or is there a way to get our education system back? And I'll hang up and listen for your answer. Thank you for being there.
Thank you, Terry.
I think there's a guarantee we can win individuals through the power of the Holy Spirit sharing the truth of the gospel regarding our educational system. I don't know. I don't really have visions of grandeur of it ever turning around. I think it used to be pretty solid. You know, whether you want to say we're a Christian nation to begin with or not, I think there's a lot of Christian underpinnings there. We certainly strayed. Our educational system in 1962 and 63 took the Bible and prayer out of the school system, and now when kids are shooting each other and stabbing each other, they're mad at God. It's like, no, don't get mad at God. You kicked him out. You want to solve the problem, bring him back. So we do have problems in our educational system. They basically teach the kids that they're nothing more than an evolved animal, but then when the kids act like an animal, they get mad at them. Think, wait a minute, that's, you taught them they're an animal. You taught them they're here by survival of the fittest. So when they cheat on an exam to pass the class and you fail them, they could say, no, I'm just doing anything I can to pass this class. It's survival of the fittest. That's how we got here. Now you're telling me it's morally wrong? I missed the memo on that. When did it change?
Very interesting. And by the way, folks, our open lines here are 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Again, perhaps you've been struggling with an aspect of all of this about biblical authority and have a question on it, or maybe you're a skeptic yourself in certain regard, or you're dealing with some issues presently. Give us a call, 800-733-9829. Steve is calling from Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hey, you brought up the question about whether churches were making, you know, the word illiterate. Well, I've attended some mega churches around my area, and they had brought motorcycles on the stage, try to tie that into word, had comedy speakers up there. They passed a collection plate, excuse me, two times, one for the church, one for the community. That they say you can put an app on your phone to get a church, and they want land and boats. And I told one person, they're not in there preaching the gospel. That's just a money-making business there. And then they have, like I said, the rock bands going on and stuff, coffee in the church. You know, you walk out of confused because it's like a variety hour instead of a pastor who should be teaching the gospel. Mm.
Interesting comment. Thank you, Steve. That brings up the whole aspect of why we go to church. What is the purpose of the church? We do see a greater trend toward entertainment today.
It unfortunately has happened. I've seen huge mega churches do an amazingly solid job in preaching, and I've seen mega churches be just about the other end of the spectrum. So you have everything across the spectrum there. But that tends to be the trend where we're headed is entertainment. You got to get people in the door. Well, you do get people in the door doing that, and you get people that should be in church. It's great that they're there, and they can often become Christians. But they're not going to grow a whole lot because you're not going to go really deep. Eventually, they become kind of bored with things. They've been there, done that, and they'll leave. But that's okay to the church because you got new people replacing them. So you always have a fair amount of people there, but no one really long-term because you're not really going to get rooted there as you should if you really want to grow as a Christian. So all churches have to keep that in mind. And again, I'm not trying to be in a condemnation standpoint. I want to be an encouragement to churches to keep their focus on Scripture and not worry so much about the numbers.
And don't contribute to that biblical illiteracy you talked about earlier. We are just seconds away from the break, so we'll take the break and we'll come right back to your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Jay Siegert is with us today. The website, thestartingpointproject.com, thestartingpointproject.com. Back in 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. In our series on the dangers of having a discourse with the Marxist, we find ourselves at point number 5. When you willingly submit to the propaganda and manipulation of the group by the cultural Marxist, and their ultimate goal of reality or truth is defined by the group consensus, you're in a dangerous spot. See, when you surrender to that, what you're saying is group consensus decides what is true. The culture as a whole decides what is true. Now, this is totally against not only the Bible, because the Bible says that men will do what is right in their own eyes. It's against our constitutional republic, because our founding fathers said, we don't care what the majority wants. They called it mobocracy, the rule of the 51%. We care what are the laws of nature and nature's God, the moral law, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. But group consensus by the cultural Marxists, well, if they can get you to go along with that, you're agreeing that truth is defined by the group. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Jay Siegert. He is with the Starting Point Project and their website, thestartingpointproject.com, thestartingpointproject.com. Let me also share a phone number for their ministry, and that number is area code 262-422-1918. That's 262-422-1918. Takes you to the Starting Point Project. Back to the phone lines to Tucson, Arizona. We have Eleanor calling. Eleanor, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for everything that you're doing. I have a friend in his 60s who's a very huge Darwinist, doesn't believe in God, and I have just struggled for 5 years trying to talk about Jesus and God and creation and look at all this beautiful, you know, nature and the animals, and he's just so dominant on what he believes, and I have just struggled. I don't know if there's any suggestions that you may have that I could approach it differently, who doesn't believe in God or the Bible.
Okay.
First and foremost, share as much scripture as you can, even if he says he doesn't believe it. You say that's fine, because God's word is powerful. Isaiah 55:11, God's word will never return void. So share as much scripture directly as you can. But also, you can just ask a lot of questions. If he's more of an atheist and believes in evolution, just ask him, okay, where did stuff come from to begin with? All the matter and energy in the entire universe. Mm-hmm. How did that get here? And then once you had stuff and it somehow formed planets, how did dead chemicals actually become alive to become a living cell that could reproduce itself? And you want specific answers, not just generalities. And then once you had a cell that was alive and could copy itself, it would make another cell and another cell. How did it change from that into every other life form on this planet? Because there's a lot more information in human beings than there is in a single cell. So it had to, over time, gain a lot of new information. Where did the information come from? Because we've never seen a physical process create information. So could he give you an example of where all that information came from? So just ask basic questions, and hopefully he'll see he really doesn't have solid answers. And maybe, again, through the Holy Spirit working in his life, he'll be more open to the scripture he's hearing.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Eleanor. And by the way, Jay's book, Creation and Evolution, but you can obtain it through the VCY bookstore. They have it just over 20-some percent off right now. It's 1-888-722-4829. And just ask for the book Creation and Evolution by Jay Siegert, and they'd be able to get that for you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Don in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Jay, for your program, and Jim, you as well. Always appreciate it. Excuse me. I just wanted to ask you a question, Jay. First of all, you mentioned about the Bible being the infinite authority or something like that.
Ultimate authority.
Ultimate
authority, yes. Mm-hmm. That perfectly says it. And in our circles, we say the final authority or the absolute authority, and that's our English Bible, the Authorized Version, a.k.a. the King James Bible. Just recently, I was in a church, and they made fun of the word begat, and they changed that to had, such and such had, so-and-so had, this and that. And ironically, I went back 2 weeks later, and they had their version up on the screen, and it said, be fit. So I got a kick out of that. It was the New American Standard version. And when I got saved, which was, well, January 15th, 1980, I just had my 40th.
And Don, do you have we're almost out of time. Do you have a specific question for our guest today?
What is his final authority in the English translations?
Well, that can be a can of worms. We have a very short amount of time. I can't do it justice. I grew up with the King James. I'm very confident it's a great translation, but I guess I'm not ready to say everything else is satanic. I think people need to pray about that and go where the Holy Spirit leads them on that, but they need to do some diligence.
Scripture says, thank you for the call here, Don. Scripture says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's go to Kennewick, Washington, and Dan, you're on the air.
I know you've had him on your radio station before, and it sounds like the gentleman that you've got here is all on the same venue. We had Bruce Malone with Search for the Truth come to our church a couple years ago, Anybody that's out there that have children in churches need to invite these guys to come to their church and teach them, if nothing else, teach them that the flood is real, which makes all other creation real, and it verifies the truth that our Bible is accurate, it's real, and you don't have to believe what the professors and everything teach you. You don't want your children going away to college without understanding that what they have in their hand is the Word of God, and it's true. And these guys are very good at explaining that creation is real, and science is just so far off base that it's not real. And, you know, that's what I've got to say.
Great. Thank you, Dan, for the call. And, Jay, in essence, that's why you go out to churches, is to help equip and to train and build up the faith.
Right. That's the whole point. It's an encouragement. It's not a condemnation. It's getting to churches to help them, maybe in areas they're struggling with, not sure how to approach things and handle these tough questions that come at them with science and the Bible and the authority of God's Word. That's the whole reason that our ministry exists.
We're going to squeeze one last call in. This is Michelle in Ohio. Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi there. I appreciate that caller before last, and thank you guys for this program. I've learned a lot of things on different programs you've had. And starting at the beginning, I wanted to get his approach on this, but it sounds like I already got part of that answer. Would that be a whole can of worms that would take a lot longer than this program?
And we've got 55 seconds, Michelle.
The question is that, you know, we see this great falling away happening, and I attribute some of that to so many versions of the Bible translation that has removed so much important things. Just one example, the NIV.
I tell you what, Michelle, we're down to 35 seconds here, and I wish I could have you go on, but we'd give no time for response. Jay, there are many, many perversions that are out there. I mean, we've even seen the Queen James version of the Bible come out to promote homosexuality. This topic of biblical authority, what would you like to say here in just a few seconds?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, there are some really extreme versions out there. Most of the mainline ones, I think, are good. I think there are some that are much better, but that's a personal issue people need to really study and pray about. But the point is, read God's Word. If you happen to be reading a version that isn't the best, He can convict you, but be in God's Word rather than saying, well, I'm not going to really read it at all because I don't know which one is best, and so I'm just going to back off.
Thank you. We're out of time, Michelle, and I would like to encourage you even to look at some past Crosstalk programs where we've dealt further in that issue. But with us today, Jay Siegert, we're talking about ultimate authority, indeed God's Word, which is truth. TheStartingPointProject.com is a website, TheStartingPointProject.com. Phone number 262-422-1918. Jay, thanks for being with us.
Welcome. My pleasure.
And friends, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.